sabbatical, encouraged us during sabbatical. And so we really went into it saying we need rest for our souls. And as Jeff said just earlier, God is tender. He knows how to handle our hearts. That's our testimony as well. God is tender, and He knows how to handle our hearts. And as we went off to sabbatical and we went to different places, we kind of said, oh, this is beautiful here. This is wonderful. But the real work He did was in our hearts. It was nice to rest. It was nice to relax. It was nice to explore new territory. But it was even sweeter and nicer for us individually and most of all as a couple to rest in Him. Just to rest in Him. And I'm sure some of you are saying, oh, it must be nice to have a sabbatical. And it is. But what we learned from our sabbatical is you don't leave it at the place you were visiting. We need to learn how to Sabbath as we function in life day to day. And we feel like that's what the Lord taught us while we were there, is there are things that you need to do as you function from the day to day to know Sabbath, to know me, to remain in me. And so it's not just sitting in a nice chair looking over a river, which is very much what we did our first couple of weeks. But what we learned was, what does it mean to abide in Him? And abide in me as I abide in you, from John 15. Abiding is a strange word for me. I don't use it. Most of us don't use abiding. It sounds a little yogi-ish, you know, that I should be in some kind of yoga position when I'm abiding. And I've got, you know, my thumbs up in the right place and I'm being. Well, God taught us that abiding is very different than just being. It's walking with Him. It's remaining with Him. It's leaning into Him. It's walking with our friend. It's walking with the one who loves us beyond anything we could comprehend. And I think we started to learn that a little when we were away and we were doing the Sabbath. So as we go to the next one, if you have your Bibles, if you could open them up to John 15. These are the verses that we're going to be keying in on. I left verse 5 up there, but I'm going to be reading verse 4 and 5 from John 15. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Lord, may Sherry and I know your peace. May we know your filling of your Holy Spirit. May the words we say bring hope, joy, light, and encouragement to our brothers and sisters. We pray in Jesus' name. That photo is a crepe myrtle. The next one, that's a crepe myrtle that's in our front yard. It's one of our greatest joys when that thing starts blooming, and it blooms and blooms and blooms, and it's huge. But I remember Sherry a couple years ago, we were having people to come over for dinner, and the great person she is and getting our house ready for people, she went out and cut some of it and put it in water, set it in the dining room table about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. By the time dinner started, it was completely dead. I cut this less than 24 hours ago. When it was separated from the vine, it lost its life. And there was nothing we could do. There was nothing you could do. We could put it in water. It doesn't work. We could attach blooms to it that are fake, but it's not the same. Are we not like that? when we get separated from the vine? So this is a wonderful illustration of when he says, abide in me, because I'm life for you. And there's life no other place, really, than in me. All of us have experienced cutting ourselves off before. Have we not? And the bloom starts to shake off. And it loses life. And in God's mercy and grace, he says, come back. Attach yourself to me. I am life. I'm the vine. Attach yourself to me. It was a wonderful lesson for Sherry and I to learn while we were away. That when the branches are cut off the vine, there is no life. But when the branches are in the vine, there is life. Soon after my sabbatical, I had a wonderful experience coming ahead of me. My right coronary artery decided to fill up with stuff other than blood. This became a deep and profound lesson for me in abiding. As I was taken into the room in which they were going to put the stent in, there was this sense in my heart, not my literal heart, my heart, that I'm out of control and that I need to make sure that I'm attached to the vine. Because there was nothing I could do. There was nothing I could do as they pushed me in a cart into this room, and there were three or four people and they were all running around getting ready to stick something in my heart. So they put the dye in me, and this picture came up on the screen. And in the midst of that, it got real quiet in the room. You could feel it. And I looked around and said, what's going on here? You're talking about having a sense of being totally out of control. And in the hands of something else, not just the doctors who were wonderful, but I realized when I saw that and I felt the response from those who were attending me, I knew I'm in territory that I've never been before. All of a sudden, abiding became very real to me. Who do I abide in? Who do I remain in? Who do I dwell in? Abiding wasn't a yoga position for me at that point. It was a very real thing of knowing the touch of my Father, the security of my Father, the knowledge of my Creator, that no matter how good these doctors are, he was saying to me, you're in my hands. You're in my hands. Sherry and I have been in the midst of reading a book called Abide in Christ. I'm going back and forth. And Andrew Murray, who the man who wrote this, was a South African back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He was a theologian and a pastor. If you ever get a chance to read a book, read Abiding in Christ. Not just because of what we went through. It had a profound effect on us. But not, again, because of what we were going through, but because of what this man shares. But there's a quote in there. He says, God has no pleasure in afflicting us, but he will not keep back even the most painful chastisement. How do you say that word? Chastisement. if he can but thereby guide his beloved child to come home and abide in his beloved son. We know from experience that God will go to any length to help us know his love and grow as his children. Any length. As I went to the floor that day, and Sherry says, I'm calling a rescue squad. Tough Bill Copeland said, okay. And as they took me in that room, and that heart image came up on the screen as I realized, I'm sick. And who do I abide in? Who do I trust? Who's got me in the palm of his hand? I started to understand, like I've never understood before, what it means to abide.
We took sabbatical, and I think we shared with you that we felt the Lord wanted to teach us about rest. And I got a lot of pictures on that sabbatical, and one, the first one was of a heron. We went out to sit on the dock as we arrived and glanced back to see a heron on the dock with us, completely unbothered by our presence. In fact, it went to sleep. Tucked its leg up under and went to sleep and stayed. You know, no moving on our part made any difference. It was at rest. And at that point, I said to Bill, I think God wants us to understand what it means to rest. And that sort of became our theme for sabbatical number one. 10 years later, we started out on sabbatical and we were by the water. I had said, I don't want to put any expectations on God. He doesn't need to give me pictures. That was a beautiful gift, but I don't want to, you know, impose my expectations on him. Just meet us in any way you see fit. So we had a driving rainstorm one day. I mean, pouring sheets. And I looked out the window and saw a heron. The only time on this sabbatical that we saw a heron. This heron was at rest. Now, it wasn't clamoring for fish, and it wasn't trying to find cover. It was completely at rest, stood still, head tucked. And I thought, well, that'll just be for a minute or two. So I left and came back, same position, no movement, just held steady. And I thought, well, that's a really interesting thing. I'm not going to presume upon that. But boy, did that become sort of a great picture for us of what it really means to abide in him. It's way more than we may have thought. So we now have a new picture. He says to us, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, it's a more complete picture that we have now of standing no matter what. Feeling his security, feeling held by him. I think I used the word carried. When Bill was in the hospital, this has been our experience all 7 times he's had medical issues and been in the hospital. There is a sweet grace over that time that's palpable. I can hardly articulate it, but it is peace, it's comfort, it's deep, and it's even joy, which is counterintuitive. You're in the middle of a medical crisis, and there's a joy. I don't know how to describe it other than that. And it's been true every single time. So we experienced that again this time, being carried by him. Andrew Murray, a new hero of mine in the faith, said, as it was Jesus who drew you when he spoke, come, So it is Jesus who keeps you when he says, abide. That's our experience. He keeps us. He holds us steady. Abiding in Jesus is the giving up of oneself to be ruled, taught, and led, enabling us to rest in the arms of everlasting love. That's also Andrew Murray.
Remain in me. Abide in me. For someone as independent as I have grown up to be, that's a hard word for me. I got it. Okay. I can remember my dad looking at me when I said to him, I got it. It was that look of him trying to not look at me and say, you're really stupid. And most of you parents in here have looked at your kids that way. When they say, I've got it. God says, remain in me. I got it. When I came out of the hospital, I said, Lord, I don't know why you always have to do this to get my attention. But I don't want to do this anymore. I really don't. So help me to understand and learn what it means to remain, to abide, to feel at peace in the palm of your hand. I'm 66. And I felt like he said, it's not too late. It's not too late. I work with all kinds of people. And yes, you are 66, and yes, you are stubborn, and yes, you are independent, and yes, you want to do your own thing. Do you want to do it my way? Do you want to go my direction? Do you want to remain in me? What about it, Bill? What do you have in here? Remain in me.
So while on sabbatical, we had the great good fortune of having someone lead us into sabbatical and check in with us and process ideas together. And that was Don Brubaker. Great gift to us. We were talking one day toward the end about abiding and that whole notion. What have we gotten about that? And he said, you know, abiding in Jesus is not passive. And I thought, oh, I kind of thought we sit still. He does the work, which is true. But he said, it's not passive. It's God's invitation to come along with me. And it's a posture not of being idle, but actively receiving from him. So that was a really good distinction for us to make in the journey. And something I think we'll hold on to as we continue on. Abiding in Jesus is not passive. And Bill will talk more about fruit bearing.
I am the vine. You are the branches. Do you believe that? Or do you think you're the vine? That was a question I had to grapple with. It was a subconscious issue in my life. Nonetheless, it was an issue that God wanted me to deal with. I heard him clearly when I read this. I am the vine. And then he said, you are the branch. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, I don't typically talk about Jesus giving us a guarantee. But here's the guarantee. Those who abide in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit. That's a guarantee, folks. Jesus doesn't lie. So why do we function as if he's lying? Was my question to myself. Do I really believe he lives in me completely? Are there areas in my life that I've let go and say, mess this one up, it's yours, Jesus. Take it, please, take it. Do I really believe that? It's not just an intellectual thing. It's not a theological thing. It's got to be a real thing. When connected with an intentionality about abiding in God, we produce the fruit that he cultivates in us. The fruit he cultivates in us, it is God who does the work. No matter how much I work at putting blooms back on this dead branch, it won't work. It's God who does the work. And the fruit that we bear, no matter how hard I try at it, it is ultimately him who produces and cultivates the fruit in our lives. The fruit we produce is simply the result of what he does. You get that, Bill? As the Holy Spirit moves in us and we become more like Christ, we start to bear fruit. Wow. Go to the next. I'm on the road to recovery. I'm a recovering, I can get it done addict. I'm a recovering, don't worry about me, I got it addict. I'm a recovering, you think you can do it, I can do it better. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's another guarantee. Think about it. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the Son of God, the King of Kings, is saying to us, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, Bill, why don't you listen? No, don't say it. But, no. This is not you going on sabbatical issue, Bill. This is about how I want you to live. Minute to minute, day to day. I provide Sabbath for you as you lean into me. I am your Sabbath. I am the one. I am the vine. You are the branch. Every day. Every minute. You get it? We had to learn the hard way, especially me had to learn the hard way. Abiding is not just a sabbatical thing. It is. It is our walk with Jesus. It's our walk as parents. It's our walk as children. It's our walk in our business. It's our walk in our interaction with our spouses. It is what it is as we love each other. That's what he's called us to, is to abide in him. And he in turn will abide in us. And as he in turn abides in us, we abide in this Jesus thing into others. It's the greatest plan of evangelism you can read about. It's to allow Jesus to abide in you. You don't have to have all the right words. When the Holy Spirit's living in you and functioning through you and abiding in you and you abiding in that, It's one of the greatest evangelistic tools in the world. So thank you for the rest. But most of all, thank you for giving us an opportunity to grow in our walk and our faith. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to grow as a couple, to be away, to learn together, to understand together what it means to abide. I love communion. It's a reminder to us day in and day out. I'm with you. I abide in you. This symbol, when you take the body, the bread, the blood, the wine, you're saying, it is me who's in you. I abide in you. What a great, great act of worship and a great, great act of submission is to come to this table and say, Jesus, fill me. Abide in me as I abide in you. I came across this prayer, and if you would just, before we go to communion, bow your heads, I'd like to read this prayer by Craig Smith over you. It's called A Place of Rest. When I'm troubled by news that I read, and all my resources seem less than the need, stress and the trouble carry my peace away. When the path I should take just isn't too clear and the pictures of failure begin to appear, comfort will come if I humble myself and pray. There is a place of rest. During the long, hard test, no need to worry if I will abide in Him. There is a place of peace where all my fear will cease if I'll abide, walk side by side with Him. He's my help. He's my refuge. He's my strength. When my world's giving in, He is the one who comes to my rescue. He is my Lord and my friend. My friend. Hallelujah. My friend. And on the night he was betrayed by those men who had walked with him, he had to give them a reminder because he knew what was going to happen. He had to remind them, no matter what happens, I will abide in you. So given the next week or two, he said, I'm going to abide in you. You may not know it, but you're going to know it one day like you've never known it before when my Spirit falls upon you and I will abide in you. This morning, he's telling each and every one of us as we present ourselves to the table, I abide in you. You're mine. My Spirit dwells in you. Come to my table. Celebrate. I am with you. I go before you. I go behind you. I am with you. Hallelujah and amen.